Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, I don't think we should talk about this.
Come on, why not?
People might misunderstand what we're trying to say, you know?
No, but it's a part of life.
And the radio might not want to play this record either.
But everybody has sex.
I know, but everybody should be making love.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby.
Hey, you sexy V's, you guys know what time it is. It's time for Real Talk. That's right, it's 7 p.m. It's Sunday, and this is the quickest hour on the internet. I'm Miss V out of the D, and I've got my co-host Greg out of the OKC, and yes, he's actually here this week. What's up, Greg? Let's try this again. Greg, can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you. How are you doing? It's been a great week, too, for me.
Okay. Yeah, it's warmer down there, so you guys ain't frozen out. So, it's always good when people aren't freezing. I'm going to start off by saying I did hear from Blog Talk 2 days later, and there was some technical difficulties, and naturally I get a little email that says, oh, well, we apologize. Really? That don't do shit for my show.
No shit.
I got an email apology. Come on, yeah, we were having technical difficulties. Really? You think? So, I want to talk about your political party. Because I don't comprehend why they're making everything so political. Now, I do recall a few years ago, they made a whole lot of rich folks richer by giving them a tax cut. Because that tax break didn't do shit for me, okay? Actually, my taxes went up. They didn't go down when they did that shit. But I want to know why.
I hit the wrong button. I'm back.
I got you back. I want to know why your political party is having a fucking hissy fit about giving people $1,400. But yet and still, they let AT&T, I'm calling y'all out. I'm calling y'all because my daughter worked for you. When they did that so-called tax break a few years ago, what they didn't tell people is the number of people that lost their jobs when they did that quote-unquote tax break for the big company.
Yeah.
AT&T, along with a lot of companies, fired people after they got that big quote-unquote tax break. My taxes actually increased. So I don't know who the hell they thought they were helping. And before anybody say anything, I don't make $1 million. I ain't nowhere near a million. I mean, one day I would like to see it, but I can tell you honestly, I don't foresee seeing $1 million in my lifetime unless I hit the lottery. Just being honest. So when I say my taxes increased because of what they did, they really did. Because anybody who actually donates to charity, I donate a lot of money to charity. Well, they took away the charity contribution credit. So my charity contributions that I normally give, which is a nice substantial amount, I didn't get credit for that. I didn't get to write that off of my taxes. My taxes increased. So why is them folks in D.C. that represent you having a hissy fit about giving people $1,400? Can you explain that to me? Because I want to know, when was the last time Mitch McConnell curious. Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, fucking Ted Cruz. When was the last time any of them actually got up and did a real 9-to-5 job? I mean, I want to put this out there because I want people to understand. You do understand that these senators don't put in 40-hour work weeks. I don't think they know what a 40-hour work week looks like. I'm being honest. Because if you ever pay attention, you don't hear them about doing shit on Mondays. Every now and then they'll work a Saturday because somebody's forcing their ass to. But they not working, they not punching no clock like us. Staffers are working 40 hours, but them, nah, they ain't working 40. You know.
Now.
And I want to know why the hell they having an issue with giving people money. Now, this country has seen a deficit for a very long time. But to me, this is a very, first of all, as an individual who will not see that $1,400, I'm not against it. The reason why I'm not against it is because I have a child who needs that $1,400. I have parents who need that $1,400. I have neighbors who need it. I have friends who need it. I have people who I know, my next door neighbor, his hours have been cut so tremendously. And I'm witnessing this. This is not what I'm thinking. I witnessed him lose his hours because of this pandemic. My son lost his job because of this pandemic. Who the hell are these people to sit there and say, oh, people just sitting back making money? Okay, well, I want you to go get your fucking bridge card. Oh, that's right, you're flying on private jets. I want you to go and try to live off of $7.25 an hour. I want you to not know where your mortgage payment is coming from. I want, and when I say you, I want these people of this political party and some Democrats also, I want y'all to go and live paycheck to paycheck. I want you guys to know what it's like to be a small business owner. I went to a small business yesterday. It's a restaurant in my area. And they're one of the few restaurants that has survived during COVID. They survived because the owner also has a regular 9-to-5 job that they did not lose. So they were able to maintain. And when I spoke with them, they told me, in their case, since they were strictly a carryout and because they never closed down because they never had a staff to worry about, they were able to stay open. But these other restaurants that were not carryout only, they closed down. So please explain to me why your people, yeah, Greg, I'm calling out your people, why do your people think the folks don't need no money?
All right, now we can go back to Democrats. Same way. It doesn't matter. Everybody's fighting over the $1,400. Now what's on the backside of that bill? Now, on the backside of that bill, $15 an hour. All right, now, here is a scenario. All right, now, you go to McDonald's and buy whatever, breakfast, lunch, dinner. Each and every one of those members make $15 an hour. Now, the question is, all of those members are not full-time. Because if they are, guess what? That Big Mac that was $4 is now going up to $6. And that's not the combo meal. And if you supersize it, make it large, large fries, which I love their fries, and a large drink. Oh, guess what? Yep, that just went up another $3 to $4. So that's how I feel on that.
Now with the $15 an hour, that's not going into effect immediately. And
correct.
I would tell people, first of all, it's going, and that's what nobody understands. They're saying, oh, they said 15. First of all, they did not pass it. It's not in the bill at all. It's something that they gotta do separately. But I will say, first of all, and I'm gonna say this, and for anybody who works full time, take it the way I say it, because I'm not going to try to sugarcoat this. When Greg and I were growing up, fast food was not a way of life. It was a stepping stone to other things. I
yep.
understand that because times have changed, you have more full-time employees. But I will tell you, as a person who grew up, and I'm not fucking old as fucking dirt, okay? I will tell you that the majority of the people that I know that are my age are not still working at fucking McDonald's and Burger King. I know one person still works at Burger King, and that person works at Burger King because they went to corporate. You do have a handful of people that start as a teenager and become either store owners or they move to the corporate side because there are incentives. But anybody who is sitting there at the age of 35 and 40, and this is your full-time job, God bless you. I'm not mad at you. You are a line worker at Burger King or Burger Flipper or whatever, and this is your full-time job. I had a hard time feeling, and I'm going to say this, because when I was growing up, community college wasn't being offered for free or a discounted rate. And
right.
quite a few states are offering four-year university at a substantially discounted rate or free. I can tell you, when my son and daughter graduated from high school, both of them had the opportunity to go to community college. One of my girlfriends, her daughter graduated from high school with an associate's degree. She went on to a four-year university to get her bachelor's, but she came out of high school with an associate's. A lot of other students are coming out of high school with associate's degrees if they choose to get that. For the parents
yeah.
that don't do it, okay, I'm sorry. You're not going to meet. It's not like, I'm going to be honest, and if my girlfriend is listening, I won't say her name, but, you know, we all ain't going to meet our husband who's a millionaire at Burger King. And I won't say any names, but one of my girlfriends, she did meet her husband at Burger King or McDonald's, one of them places. She was flipping burgers. She got married to him.
Right.
She got lucky. He happens to be a millionaire, okay? That's the rarity, okay? She's not the norm. You know, she went from flipping burgers to being that bitch who you say, damn, I can't believe you got that car and you live in large. Okay, I didn't flip burgers. I work in the shoe store, okay? I hope nobody thinks that. And on top of that, I want to say this. For you people who are working fast food, I understand that we all want to be accepted for who we are and the way we look. But let me get some things clear to you. Accepting the way you look and you deciding to put your baby mama name or your baby daddy name on your neck for the whole world to see, guess what? Corporate America still ain't came around. So some of you who are not working in jobs that you would want, you have to understand, and I will say this as a daughter. I have a daughter. She has two sleeves. She's tatted up. But I will tell you, she also, now that she's older, she doesn't worry because she is in a position where she wants to be. And because of her status, it's like, fuck you. You know, she's at a point where she can say, fuck you. My skills speak for themselves. But when she was first starting out in the corporate world, she had to go buy makeup to cover up her tits if she was going to wear short sleeves on an interview. And she had to have her tits covered for a great deal of time. I want everybody to understand, I am not anti-tattoo. But guess what? Everything ain't professional. You ain't, what is it, these damn rappers, Tekashi 6ix9ine and all these motherfuckers with tats on the middle of their face and all that? Guess what? It's freedom of expression is one thing, but if you can't make no money with that expression, you might want to cover that shit up. I'm just keeping it real. And you working at McDonald's or Burger King? Yes, I do agree that if you were working at Walmart, and I'm going to say Walmart because we started off talking about fast food, but let me say something about Walmart. There are people who do work retail full-time. And I'm going to say this because Walmart is not my friend. I went when I was working on my master's degree. I studied Walmart. They actually, anybody who wants to know about Walmart, you don't have to go to college to learn this. NPR has a whole series on Walmart. If you don't know what NPR is, that's National Public Radio. They have a whole series on Walmart. And it happened to be part of my college class when I was working on my master's. And Walmart is one of the companies that we have allowed to pay their employees minimum wage or less than and not have them work full time so that people like me and Greg and anybody who's listening can pay our taxes to take care of their employees because they don't pay them a living wage. So they're still getting public assistance and food stamps. Walmart does this intentionally. They don't offer health benefits yes. when they can get Medicaid. And depending on what yep. state you're in, Medicaid could be a piece of shit. And depending on where you live at, and I will say this because I don't know if the sign is still up at this particular hospital, and I won't name it, but I have been to it. There's a sign in their waiting room. We don't accept Medicaid. And
well,
and I don't know,
ahead.
And this is in Michigan. So for anybody who says, oh, well, no, this is a hospital in Michigan. Like I said, I will not name it because I have not been in their emergency waiting room in a, it's been almost 10 years. But they had a sign when I went to their waiting room. I had to go there for an emergency. And I went into their waiting room, and there was a sign in their waiting room that said, we don't accept Medicaid. If you have Medicaid, you need to be able to pay cash. And
yeah.
if it was naturally, if you're sitting in your waiting room, your ass goes someplace else.
It's everywhere.
Just keeping it real.
No,
if you can sit there, then it's not an emergency. Because
and,
real emergencies wouldn't have seen that sign because they would have, and they would have taken you. If you
okay,
came in an ambulance, you know, or that was on the state's gunshot wound or something. But if you came here because you didn't want to go to the regular doctor and you had Medicaid, they had a big sign. We do not accept Medicaid. And I can tell you that that's here in Michigan, and I saw that sign. I'm sure there are hospitals in other parts of the country that also have that sign up or that do not accept Medicaid. And if you are a Walmart employee and you're making bare minimum and you're not working 40 hours a week because at 40 hours they have to offer you benefits. Walmart does not have that many full-time employees. The only full-time employees are their managers, for anybody who wants to know. And maybe their shift leads are full-time. And I'm saying maybe.
Correct.
But their managers are the only true full-time employees, same with Sam's Club. And
yep.
those are people with benefits.
Costco, any
I don't
big
know.
Box store.
I can't. Costco has more full-time employees. Costco, their employees, unlike the rest of them, I can't speak because I've never worked there. I could just go by. Their employees seem to be happy at Costco. I don't know what they're doing at Costco, but their employees seem to be happy. I ain't seen no happy employees at Walmart, okay?
Exactly.
Costco. I go to Costco, and I can tell you this. This one woman, she's been there. I can't remember her name, but they have what year they started, and I've seen like 10 and 12-year employees at Costco, some longer than that. I guess if I went to California, I would see, because Costco is a California. Here in Michigan, they haven't been here that long. They only been here since the late 90s. So I wouldn't see anybody unless they came from the West Coast that maybe said 91 or 92, because they didn't get here until 98 or 99. But the West Coast would be longer. But Costco employees seem to be happy because, like I said, I see people saying that this time here in Michigan, they're like 98, 99. I'm like, okay. And I've been a Costco member since I was in California. They did not let me transfer here because we did not have Costco when I moved back home. So why would I pay for something that they didn't have here? The closest Costco, I want to say, was like in Las Vegas. Las Vegas is a long way from Michigan, so it wasn't no need for me to keep that membership. Just saying. But
now, here's another question. Now, Costco, the big box stores, okay, that's one thing on $15 an hour. Now, what about the local, regional, and nationwide restaurants that pay their servers, cooks, and prep, hostesses, all that? You know, minimum wage, and then servers. Okay, you're going to make $3 an hour, but you got tips. So,
now
okay.
I have a friend who worked at one of the national chains as a hostess, and she made pretty good money. I never did ask her what she made because that was a part-time job for her because she had a full-time job already, and she did a part-time.
Right.
And she was making whatever minimum wage was. I will not say what state she's in or anything, but I will say she was making whatever minimum wage is, but tips. And she said she was doing nice. What I will say is that my concern is the mom-and-pop restaurants, and those are the ones that pay, like, the servers. $15 an hour is a lot for a small business, but again, just being phased in. I will tell you, even when I hire people, nobody that has ever worked for me has made minimum wage, and I say that proudly, and everybody knows I've been in business for a while, and whenever I bring anybody on board, they're normally making, and I started this business in 2006, and the least I have paid anybody has been like $15 an hour. And that was in 2006. So we know what I was paying above minimum wage. But I also have so many benefits. I have incentives to go with me. So when people get paid with me, it's different than other companies because I do travel. So normally when I bring somebody on board, it's someone who's going to be traveling with me. So their pay may not necessarily reflect what their benefits are because I'm paying for your hotel room. I'm paying for your travel to get there. You know, yeah, you might be humping your ass, but when you're not sleeping in a hotel room with me, you got normally a suite when you're with me. So
right.
When people say, Ms. Lee, you're different, no, it's just that everybody can't afford it. Like my girlfriend, she has her business. I went to it. I don't see her being able to pay that, but I will tell everybody, if you look at it, when they did the minimum wage, remember that was only minimum wage. That did not include the people in the restaurants. And I want everybody to understand that they did do a different hike for them. I did not look at it. I have not looked at it, so I'm not going to sit here and speak on what I do not know. I do know that their
right.
minimum pay was also hiked up. I don't know what it was being hiked up to, but they were still going to be, they were going to be making less than minimum wage. So I want everybody to understand minimum wage is for people who are hourly. These are set up for businesses like retail, car washes. I say car washes because I go to the car wash all the time. fast food restaurants. And for anybody who says, oh, well, the fast food restaurant is franchisee, let me tell you how much the average franchise costs. If you own a Subway franchise, you're dropping 50 G's. So if you're dropping 50 G's just to get that franchise and you're paying another, you're paying $15,000, $20,000 a year to keep that license active on top of carrying everything.
Right.
I'm going to be very honest, and people can say that I'm wrong for this, but the amount of money to become a franchisee that they're dropping up front, if you cannot afford to pay minimum wage to have good workers up in there, then you don't need to get a franchise. I'm just keeping it real. That's the way I feel because I know what these franchisees are feeling, and if you want the McDonald's name, the Burger King name, the Arby's name, the A&W name, I don't know if BQ has it, but any of these ones that have franchisees where you're paying to have that name on your business, then definitely don't look at me as the individual that comes to your establishment and have sympathy and say your employee shouldn't make $15 an hour. What I will say is that how about we make sure that people get a decent fucking education so they're not dependent on fast food? And that's where the problem comes in. If we offered a substantial good education in this country, we wouldn't have motherfuckers that depend on a fast food job for full-time employment. Instead of sitting here and bitching about them making 15, how about we say it should go back to the way it was when me and Greg was growing up. That should have been a stepping stone. That should have been something that we did after school. That should have been a part-time job in the summer when we came home from college. That should have been something that was a option, not a way of life. But this country does not offer, I don't care where you live at, we are the most stupidest people in the whole fucking world because we don't even, for us to have a public education system, public education only works for motherfuckers who live in the fucking suburbs and are rich. And this has nothing to do with race, it has to do with economic status.
I mean, so, you look at the healthcare system in Germany. Oh, 10 times better than anything we have come up with in the past 20 years. I mean, seriously.
You know, but people want to sit here for people to say, oh, people deserve this amount of money. Really? Look at our homeless population. Go to California where being homeless sucks. I mean.
Yeah.
Okay,
I
have a puppy
California.
Who apparently wants more attention than me.
No, you go to the homeless, and it's, yeah, we don't do enough here in America for the veterans that are homeless. We don't do enough here in America. And yet, oh, okay, sorry. Oh, the immigrants coming over now? Okay, let's go ahead and give them some benefits. That's wrong. We need
and
to take
a big
care
thing.
Of
for the undocumented, for the undocumented, and I'm going to use the current administration as usual because I do think that it sounds really damn impossible on the alien. They're not from outer space. The alien is something that I think about from E.T., you know. But undocumented citizens does sound better because, I'm sorry, I'm not looking for E.T. When I, you know, let's keep it real. If we told our children it was an illegal alien, they'd be looking for E.T. Or that thing from the movie Alien. Let's keep it real. So
uh-huh.
When they say undocumented citizen, but you're correct, they come over. Our immigration laws need to be revamped. And when I say they need to be revamped, I truly feel that just because you come here pregnant and your child is born here, that should not make them a citizen. I'm just keeping it real because I have my son in Japan, and he is not a Japanese citizen.
Right.
And there are things in our immigration laws that need to be changed. I'm not anti-immigrant. I am anti-receiving benefits that I can't receive.
Correct.
I cannot come here and not have a job and get full benefits without having to jump through 5 million hoops. And I'm all for people wanting better lives. But guess what? I've had a child overseas. My children do not carry dual citizenship. We are a country, and I'm going to say this. I'm going to probably have the Secret Service come after me when I say this. I stand by what I say. Our former First Lady, will somebody explain to me why her mother and father are U.S. citizens? I read an article talking about how her son speaks her native language along with English, and that he learned it because when he went to go visit his grandparents, who only lived a couple of blocks from them in New York, because they're U.S. citizens. Okay, they became citizens before she became First Lady, so I'm sure that still being who she's married to, money had a lot to do with it, because for anybody who wants to know, former President Obama, his aunt, who they had a big issue about being an undocumented citizen, he didn't even know she was here. And so somebody told him. And when she passed away, she was still not a documented citizen. So him being a president did not get her citizenship, okay? Money talks.
Right.
Bullshit walks. I see Randy Holden. Let me pull him over before he thinks I'm ignoring him. I'm multitasking everybody. I'm doing my nails while we on the show. Hey, Randy.
Hey, beautiful. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing good. And I was just listening to your conversation. It seems like very, very interesting. Very, very, very interesting. You were talking about schools being messed, our education system being messed up. And between the three of us, we never had this problem. Our education system between the three of us when we were kids, it wasn't that messed up.
Yes, it was.
Really?
I can't speak for Baltimore, but let me speak for Detroit. Detroit has been fucked up for a long time, okay? I went to private school because my mom and daddy was able to put me in private school because I got some friends who graduated from Detroit public schools. Yes, DPS, I'm telling you all. And they motherfucking idiots. They're fucking 50-fucking-year-old idiots. They don't know shit. And I can tell you, because of the teachers that worked in that school system, and because of the way that system was set up, the resources were not there, but you had teachers who did not care. So, yes, the school system's been fucked up for a long time here in Detroit. I cannot speak for Baltimore. I cannot speak for Oklahoma. I'm going to speak for Detroit. DPS didn't get fucked up overnight. It's been fucked up for a long fucking time. Yeah, I said it, Detroit.
Hell yeah. All right. Now, Oklahoma, back in the 70s, 80s, being young, going through the system, it wasn't, didn't notice. Now, in 2000 and more to current, you see how bad that system was because teachers, they went on strike. They didn't make shit. I mean, it's like, really?
Shoot. I mean, in Baltimore, when I was younger, I think started out in 70. I started in public school. Started in kindergarten public school. Then I went 5 years. And to this day, I still don't know why. Put me in a special ed school. I don't know what. To this day, I don't know why. I don't know why they put me there. I mean, I feel that I do not need. This was 50 years ago for me. I don't think I need that much special education. I really don't. I mean, I was a smart kid in kindergarten. And then from first to sixth grade, I went there, and then all of a sudden my mom put me back in public school. In sixth grade. I mean, like I said, to this day, I don't know why. I mean, the school system was pretty good when I was younger. But after I graduated, let's say 90s through now, schools, less and less students are graduating from high school. Less and less students. I'd say an average of about 200 plus a year. 200 plus a year graduated from high school. Where I see other classes graduate about 700, 800 students graduating from there. Big class. I mean, we're talking big classes here.
Well, I will tell you, students are not graduating because, for one, they don't have truant officers. It used to be if you didn't go to school, guess what?
Mm-hmm. Sure enough.
You missed 3 days, somebody was showing up at your house. I don't care if you went in public or private. Let's just keep it real. Truant officers are, excuse you. Thank you. Truant officers are a missing part of education. And on top of that, you have a great number of parents that came up after us. The trend has changed. It's going back to waiting till you graduate to have children. But for a time, from 86 up until, I want to say, 96, you got a 10-year span. And I'm going to say this because I went to private school, and when I came back home after having my divorce, I had my son and daughter with me. I needed to get my high school transcripts because I was going back to college. I walked into my private high school with my daughter on my arm and my son walked away. A little girl walked up to me, and she looked at me, and these are her exact words, and I was so mad that I did not know how to handle it. This little girl looked at me, and she said, "Oh, you're going to be a freshman in September? You'll like it here, and your kids will like it, too." I looked at her, and I said, "Excuse you?" And she's like, "Yeah, you're going to be a freshman, right?" I was like, "A freshman in college?" And it was just shocking that that was acceptable, because when I graduated, two children, that wasn't acceptable. That wasn't even something. I mean, there is no way I would have walked up to anyone with two children walking into the school or going to the school office with two children and thought that they were going to be in the freshman class at the high school, okay? Or sophomore or junior or senior. Mm-hmm. I just wouldn't have thought that. Now, sure enough, I did. There's a saying, black don't crack, and I still look younger than I am. But I don't think I look so young that somebody come. Well, I did get carded, but I just didn't think that I would mistake me for a freshman in high school with two children. Okay? Especially when I was 25 years old. It ain't like I was 19 with two children. We're talking about I was 25 years old with two children. One on my hip and one walking. Both of them was in diapers. So I never thought that I would be mistaken for a freshman in high school, and I definitely did not take it as a compliment. Now, somebody told me now I look like I was 30. I took that shit with a compliment and run. But I definitely did not take being mistaken as a 14-year-old in high school when I was 25 as a compliment, not with my two babies.
No.
But from 86 to 96, you had a great number of women having children when they were in high school. It has decreased. When my daughter graduated, I don't recall her telling me anybody that she knew. As a matter of fact, I think a lot of my daughter's friends still don't have children. And my son, his friends, I think, if I'm not mistaken, one of his friends has a child older than his, and it's only by a year or so. My son's friends didn't start having their children until they was 24, 25. So we had 10 years where you had babies having babies. And I say that because even when I took my children to child care when I was going through college, I had a chick who was in her teens called me an old-ass parent when my son was 5 years old. Told me I was old. Now, granted, her child was five also, and I don't even know how old she was, but she called me old.
I'm
told me
not
I didn't
that girl. Called me old? Shit.
At, when I was 25, 26.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, now they're reverting back to pushing education, but in the meantime, you still have to realize that our education system sucks. Oh, and these people who are yelling, $50,000 in student loan debt paid off.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not for that. I agree with the $10,000. The reason why I say $10,000 is because if you got $50,000 in student loan debt, which I know is a good possibility that a whole lot of people do,
mm-hmm.
How about people realize that when you get, there's an option. And I know college is more than when I went, but I am going to say this. When I went to college, I had two children. I didn't go as a single 18-year-old out of high school. My student loan debt was only $5,000. And the reason why it was only $5,000 is because, let me tell you something, it's called barely living. I had Pell Grants and everything else,
yep.
And I was working part-time, and that was with my two children.
Mm-hmm.
and my children's child support, which was not a hell of a lot.
Tell you is that I did not take a student loan that I did not need it. And I scraped, and I scraped. But I thank God this very day that when I look at people who are my age, who are still paying off their student loan debt, and they look at me, and when I tell them I have a bachelor's degree, they look at me and they said, okay, how much is your student loan debt? And I tell them zero. They ask me, how did I do it? And when I tell them, they're like, oh, I couldn't do that. No. Student loans are set up for failure. That's money that they give you above and beyond, especially if you go to a state school of what you need. If you go to a private university, it's different. But for state schools, especially if you don't make no money, the student loan is money that you just have in the spend, especially if you're living in the dorms. You're going to buy new laptops. And for anybody who think I'm full of shit, I want you to go look at some of these students who get student loans, and you'll be like, how you get that new car? Oh, my student loan money. That's not what your student loan money was for.
Yep.
So forgiving $50,000, no, I'm not for forgiving $50,000 in student loan debt. And I know people will say,
no.
I don't understand. You're right, I don't understand. I don't understand because taking out a student loan is a choice. It is a choice. And I tell everybody, it is a choice. I could, when I graduated from college, I had a Perkins loan that I still owed $50 on. I thought I had paid it off. Let me tell you what the school did. The school asked me, oh, do you want to make payments? I said, payments, can I give you my credit card number with a phone? Because I was wondering why I didn't have my degree in my hand. And when they told me, oh, because you owe $50 on your Perkins loan, and then tell me, well, you can make payments. That's how they get you because, okay, true enough, that $50 hurt me for about 3 weeks. It did because I wasn't making a whole lot of money when my student loan was due. So putting that $50 on my credit card, even though I threw it on there, I probably paid $200 for that $50. Let's keep that real. But guess what? I had my degree in my hand. But I will tell people, I made a choice that I was going to pay that $50. But if you hear that you can make payments, okay, I don't know what the interest is on paying a $50 loan. But I bet that $50 loan might have been $5,000 when you guys are making payments. Okay? Let's say you're paying $5 a month, hypothetically. It's going to take you 10 months to pay it, but you might have to pay $7.50 a month to not pay it off in 10 months. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you're still paying more money. So, no, I'm not a pro-student loan person. I'm not student loan forgiven. Not for no $50,000. The $10,000 I understand, but I think that when you forgive a student loan, and this is my opinion, I'm going to get slack for it, I don't think it should just be forgiven. I think you should commit to keeping a job. I think that if you want your student loan forgiven, that how about you make an incentive for these companies to hire people? Okay, AT&T, Ford, GM, Chrysler, Lear, Boeing, NASA, the state governments, the city governments, hire a person, tell them, just like in the military where we have to give a 4-year commitment, tell them, you have to give a commitment after your probationary period, because you got to make it through probation.
Right.
But you get a job. Most probationary jobs is 90 days to a year, depending on the job. After you get through your probation, you have to stay at that job and the company. Let's offer the company an incentive to keep you on and say, hey, you keep this person on, we'll forgive their student loan, but what we're going to do is for the 3 years that they're working, we're going to give you a 2% tax break. That adds up if you hire a whole lot of people, am I correct?
Right.
And they stay on.
Because, I'm sorry, after a person been on for 3 years, the odds of them getting fired are null and void. And if you tell that company, hey, for these 3 years, you got to tax. Now, after 3 years, the person has been established, which means that when you have that on your resume, unless you see a company that's just fed out every time for 3 years, get up, they fire people, then you go and you say, okay, we're not giving you no more tax incentives. But don't let a person get the tax break and not get something in return for it, if that makes sense. What you think, Greg?
No, I agree. I mean, plain and simple, you are going out there and throwing all this out. So, deal with it.
I mean, like I said, I'm for forgiving, but just don't forgive it for free. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I will forgive, but never forget. Now, let's see what you deal with and run with, and let's go from there.
Because I can tell you that if a person's at a job for 3 years, I can tell you most people, my daughter, I will use as an example, she hates switching jobs.
Yes.
And because, as my daughter likes to tell me, I don't want people to hear this because I'm going to say this because I want people to listen very clearly. My daughter lives in a black and white world. And my daughter has told me that I have raised her as if she is a white child, not a black child. And when I say this, I want people to listen. In the black community, we don't talk about retirement to our children. We don't talk about home ownership. We don't talk about building anything. My daughter, when I have conversation with her, and she's at that job, and my son, I talk about retirement and their future. And I said, you know, you ain't going to be young forever.
Yeah.
And when my daughter talks to her other black friends, they be like, what you talking about? Owning a house, owning this, owning that, doing this, doing that. They live in paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
The black community does not talk about saving money. We don't talk about raising our children with equity and leaving them things.
Right.
And I say that because I want anybody who's black listening to this. We got to do better. First of all, we got to do better among ourselves before we ask my young to help us. We are the only community that's so busy being pissed at each other and throwing each other under the bus. But then the first thing we want to say, the white man did this, the white man did that. What did you do for yourself? Because I can tell you, I've had the conversation with my son and daughter. My son and daughter both know what home ownership means. They know about having money in the bank. They know about having that equity. They know about, I mean, my daughter has conversations with her friends who are younger than her, and she's like, yo, you need to be looking at your retirement. She negotiates with her job like, yo, I ain't getting no older. I got to look at my retirement. I, you know. Those conversations aren't had in the black community. Unless, as they say, you're uppity. And I hate the word uppity. But the conversations have to be had. And how about instead of having them in the community, how about they had in the schools? Because I can tell you, I went to an all-white school. These were conversations that were had at my school, in my high school, because that's what I was taught in high school. The public school system in minority neighborhoods, I don't care if it's black or white, do not have these conversations with children. They're not telling them to look for their future. So being poor in this country means that you're not taught shit. But if you live in the suburb of Oklahoma City, the suburb of Baltimore, Maryland, the suburbs of Detroit, Michigan, the suburbs of Cleveland, Ohio, the suburbs of Seattle, Washington, if you live in the suburbs of any of these major fucking cities, the children in those suburbs are being taught home ownership, business management. They are being taught how to save money. They're being taught about their future at a young age.
Yes.
Again, This country sucks when it talks about education because it is not equal education for everybody. If you are poor in this country or low income, you get a shitty fucking education. Period.
You got that right.
And until
agree.
We start educating the people in our country, we're going to have division. I want people to go look at, if they have the opportunity, watch the movie Judas and the Black Messiah. I thought I was going to be mad as hell when I watched this movie. I watched it. It's an excellent movie. I want people to watch it and learn because it really does talk about how the government has divided black and white people. And that's not what the Black Panther Party was about. The Black Panther Party was about bringing everybody together. But I never knew that until I watched that movie. I had my own stereotype of the Black Panther Party from what I had heard. To see a movie that's based on a true story, to see that this was about poor people against those who have. And if the lower income communities, black, white, Hispanic, will come together and say, we're going to take care of ourselves. If you go into the Asian community in most states, they are taking care of themselves. If you go to the Arab community in most states, they are taking care of themselves. When you go into an African-American community, you cannot see an African-American grocery store. You can't see a bunch of African-American shops. You don't see that. Why? Because even in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I can use that because we know that's been all over the news, they destroyed Tulsa, which was a very prominent black community that was taking care of itself.
They did not destroy all of Tulsa. It was only the, Green?
They called it Black Wall Street. It was a small neighborhood, but that was destroyed was a neighborhood, and that's what this country has done. Neighborhoods of African Americans that tried to take care of themselves, they divided them against each other. And that is
correct.
The one thing I want people to look at. When you go into African American communities, if I go into Detroit right now, they're small businesses, but if you ever hear them talk about gentrification in New York and in the boroughs of New York and the different boroughs, that's what's going on in Detroit. Yes, there are a lot of small businesses in Detroit. I'm not mad at. But of those small businesses, I'm going to say a hypothetical because I do not know. I have not checked it. But I would say only about 30% of probably African Americans of the new up-and-coming small businesses in the city of Detroit. Even though you have a city that's, I want to say, 80 or 90% African American. There's a lot of gentrification going on in the city of Detroit. But am I mad at it? No. But what African Americans and black people all over the country has to do, how about we quit fighting with each other and start taking care of each other? First thing I want to say, as a black business owner, black people, let me tell you something. If you don't walk into a store of a white business owner and say, can you give me a discount, what makes you think that a black person needs to give you a discount?
Nope.
Because when I walk into the white business of a small business owner, I don't say, come on now, hook a sister up, you know I'm struggling. I don't say that to a small business owner that's white. But as a black business owner, dealing in an African American community, you should be able to hook me up. Why I gotta pay that much? If you're not, and I'm gonna say this, if you are willing to pay another culture what they have listed, why are you not willing to pay your own people? You're helping out yourself when you pay their price. But if you want to steal and say you don't want to pay that and you'll go someplace else, guess what? Then guess what? You're hurting yourself. Also, let business owners. Don't treat your customers like shit because they're black, because they could walk out and spend their money someplace else. I will tell you, as a black person, I have walked out of many black businesses because I've been treated like shit because I don't have to spend my money there.
But
I don't take for granted my customers, But customers don't take for granted donors.
Mm-hmm.
That goes both ways. Black business owners don't take for granted that they got to spend their money with you because you're black. And black customers don't think you need to get a discount because you're black and it's a black-owned business. Because let me tell you something. When I go in Detroit on the Avenue of Fashion, which is Little Noise for anybody who does not know, any money that I spend there, I do not go over there looking for a discount. There are art galleries and everything over there, and when I go to that area, I expect to spend money. And I don't look for a discount. Now, if I think something is really, really overpriced, I'm going to sit there and say, I think it's really overpriced, okay? Especially if it's something I'm like, damn, that's like way overpriced. And I know
it's
way overpriced and
what's not. And when I was little in Bo, I live in a predominantly black neighborhood. Every store from the supermarket, the cleaners, the laundromats, the grocery stores, all those places, they're predominantly black, owned by black people. Black people helping each other out. And whatnot.
Yeah.
All the corner stores I used to go to are black. But by the late 70s up until the 80s, those black owners sold their little corner stores to Koreans. So we got mostly Korean stores right now.
Yeah.
Koreans are taking over those stores.
Well,
those stores we've been going to when I was little.
That's fine. You've got to think right now that white business, black business, and Asian businesses are being persecuted because of, they're not our type. Oh, they're not our kind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? We are still American.
Yes.
Not to mention, you support a local company, local business, because I'm not buying shit from McDonald's, Burger King, Popeyes, or anything that is global.
I mean, we used to have
local.
We used to have a Rexall drugstore in the neighborhood. We used to have a Jack in the Box. Let's see, what else? A grocery store for the whole neighborhood. That grocery store is still there, but under a different name.
Right.
And it's like.
But the whole
right now,
thing is that when you spend money in your community, it stays in your community. Where I live at, and I think you guys have probably talked about, there's a Coney Island. This Coney Island is open 7 days a week, but they're only open like from 7 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon. They only hire people from this community. And I do not know where they live at, but they're on the Nextdoor app. For anybody has Nextdoor.com, they are on there. And they put out there they were looking for new employees. And they only hire local. And people talk about, and their food is good. They are a small business.
Oh,
really? They only got that one location. My daughter comes from Detroit. She's like, Mom, we got to have Coney Island today. Okay, we have a Coney Island.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where if the food is good, we go to it. I mean, there are small businesses. I try to, first of all, because I'm trying to lose weight, I'm doing a lot of cooking at home. The grocery store feeds me and my freezers. So when I do eat out, I normally eat out at a local restaurant. I can't tell the last time I went to Mickey D's or Burger King or any of that. For one,
right.
That food ain't healthy. Two, that shit, we ain't no telling how long it's been sitting in the freezer. So I'm just saying, you know, and the steroids that the cows and the, you know, been given, it's just certain things, you know. I'm trying to become that fly ass bitch. But you know what? Remember, daylight savings time is next week, everybody. That means spring forward. We are coming to the end of the show. And guess what? I'm loving that we started so early. We're not talking about all kind of shit this week, but that's why we talk about real talk. There's no filter. And this week I did not talk about sex, which is a shocker. But I want everybody to have a great week. We will be back next week. I can't believe that we're almost halfway through March and the month just started. So have a great week. Remember, spring forward Sunday night next week, everybody. I mean, Saturday night, not Sunday. Spring forward next Saturday.
Yep.
Have a great week.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Ciao.
About this.
Come on, why not?
People might misunderstand what we're trying to say, you know?
No, but it's a quite a lie.
And the radio might not want to play this record either.
But everybody has sex.
I know, but everybody should be making love.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? Come on.
Let's talk about sex.